Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
And here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
Welcome in and hello. Welcome in and hello. I already said that. From where we are to where you are, this is the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. We appreciate you joining us once again, or for the first time, however it is. I'm your host, Blake, joined as always by Tyler and Rob. How are we doing, fellas?
Yet another bozo intro.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Oh, I already said I'm doing great.
All right. Listen, I wrote an intro for the first time ever that I want to follow for every podcast. And, you know, it's in Blake's kind of, you know, my whole vibe if I do fuck up the intro. So, yeah, we have a standard intro now, but it's still going to be fucked up in some way, some form.
I liked it. I mean, it sounded good to me.
I guess this is our first podcast since the post draft. You know, not very many days have occurred since then. Watching the chat go on this one's pretty entertaining.
I'm sorry, I'm talking over you. It's preseason is over though. We're practicing now. We've shed the walking boot. Let's go. We're ready for the games.
Right? Yeah, we've shed the walking boot and immediately fallen into a bucket of nails.
Yep, just call us Michael Thomas, you know, because that's basically what we're doing right here. We're always injured now. Football happens.
Could call us George Kittle.
Yeah, are we excited for football, guys?
Yeah, we are. Yep, very much so. Ready to go. Cool. Kicks off tomorrow with what? Rams and the Bills.
Yep.
All right.
Rams Bills is tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah. You know, they like to kick these off with what they think is a Super Bowl preview. And I think they're not far off. I think they got one of the teams, right?
Alrighty. This week in this podcast, we're going to, you know, have some recurring segments and some new segments. First off, we're going to start off with a new one, then head into some news, then into our matchup. So first up, let's head into our new segment.
Hello, do you want to play a game?
All right, so for our new segment this year, what I'm going to try to do every week is come up with three under and over picks to pitch to Tyler and Rob here. And then hopefully, you know, all of our listeners can chime in on what they would say on their picks on this. I'm going to try to come up with a theme linking all three of these under and overs together every week. And, you know, it's just going to be a little bit fun, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to do the first over under, and it's specifically directed at Rob. Rob, over under 1.5 weeks before Blake forgets to do this for a podcast.
Over.
I don't know about that. I'd go under. All right, Blake, go ahead and go into your segment.
All right. So first, this week, week one is going to be the revenge of the QB. We got three quarterbacks that are facing former teams this week. You know, quarterbacks that people know anyway. First off, Baker Mayfield facing off week one against his former team, the Cleveland Browns, with his new team, the Panthers. My question to you guys, over under 1.5 touchdowns in week one for Baker Mayfield?
I mean, I'll start off. I'm going to hammer the over there. I think, we all know how Baker was not healthy last year. And you can debate how effective Baker is when he is healthy. But we know that Baker is the type of person to have a chip on his shoulder, right? After when he was in college at Oklahoma, when Kansas refused to shake their hands at midfield for the coin toss, he went out and just went ballistic against them, and you know, was giving them the cock grab and all that sort of stuff on the sidelines and beat them like 48 to nothing. So revenge Baker is an upset Baker is a good Baker. So yeah, over.
Yeah, I agree, especially at 1.5. I think he has 2. I don't think he has 3 or more. You know, if you put it at 2.5, let's say, I probably would have said under. I do think that he has a good game. I think they use McCaffrey a lot in this. And I think one of his touchdowns could easily be to him. So, yeah, I agree with everything Tyler said about the revenge factor. He'll go crazy.
Yeah, this was a tough line for me. I really wanted to go 2.5, but I thought it would be a little boring and it'd be an easy under call. But next up, I've got not his first year on the team, but Joe Flacco playing against the Ravens week 1. My over-under is at 220 yards passing for Joe Flacco.
Ooh. Wow. You know what? Go ahead.
Nope. Okay. I went first last time.
Okay. Well, man, I really want to take the over because I think it would be an awesome story. I just don't think he will. So I'm going to take the under there. Under 220.
Wow, I was really expecting you to talk a little bit longer because what I wanted to do was look up Flacco's stats from last year when he was the starter. Let's see here. We have Flacco game logs 2021 here. So last year when he was the starter, he only started one game. That's right, because Mike White started the rest of them, and he was at 291, and that was against Miami. I'm going to go over. I think that this offensive line being depleted certainly leads them to put the ball more in the wily veterans' hands rather than try to establish the run with Breece Hall, especially against a really good run D in the Ravens, who have Calais Campbell back, I believe, which he was hurt much of last year. Am I making that up? He was hurt much of last year, wasn't he?
You might be making it up, but it sounds good.
Cool. I thought he retired last year.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the over on 220.
You're going to throw Joe Flacco in the Wiley category of quarterbacks?
Well, yeah, he's white and he's like 36.
All right, my final one is Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos playing against the Seahawks. My over-under here, I was really debating with this one. I set it at, you know, just go 50 yards more than what I said Flacco at. So Russell Wilson over-under 270 yards passing.
Yeah, I think this is really, really easy. I really like Russ for DFS this week because I think he, outside of Baker, he has the most fuck you to go back. And I don't know if Russ has that same fuck you factor that Baker does, which is why I say that he's the lead guy. But still, I think that coaching staff is going to go, yeah, we're going to air it out and just show Seattle how much they completely fucked up here.
Yeah, I agree. I take the over here. I actually thought you might push it closer to 300, and then I would have had a decision, but I think he gets real close to 300 and probably throws 2 or 3 touchdowns. And one of them is a long one to Sutton, and they're like, that could have been DK catching those.
So if I were to say 295.5,
I'll take the over.
Okay. See, that I know it was between like 290, 295, or just go 50 over what Joe Flacco was. So you guys are sitting here solid that he's going to throw for around 300 or more.
Right. Real close to that.
Okay. Yeah. So just kind of where I got these from, and then extract a little bit was from the DraftKings lines. Russell was sitting at over under 255, I think, on DraftKings when I was looking. So if you want to, you know, make that bet, go ahead. These guys say your professional analysis, Rob and Tyler, say make that bet. And you can request them for refunds if you do fail.
Untrue.
You can request a refund all you want, but that goes to the request departments, which is my shredder back here.
Right.
So that is it for this week's episode of Blake's Over Under. Let's hit some news. Okay, so for our first news story, I mean, it doesn't have a ton of or any fantasy implications, but I'm just curious if you guys want to talk about it at all. We had a retirement this week. Emmanuel Sanders retired after, I don't know exactly off the top of my head how many seasons he played, but
it's got to be somewhere between 12 and 14 because he was 35, 36. So
yeah.
Over a decade in the NFL is elite company.
So I don't know if you guys want to talk about Emmanuel Sanders, if you had any memorable seasons with him on your team, if you ever drafted him, but I figured we should at least remark on that.
I don't ever recall having him on my team. I recall several years in the past, let's say six, where he was on other teams and I hated facing him, or I tried to make trades for him and people weren't having it. I think I remember Chris actually having him one year and I was trying to get him sometime in the last three or four. And I was trying to get him. I mean, just a great player, did well for several teams. It actually, you know, when I saw that come across the wire today, I was like, oh, no wonder he, you know, hadn't signed with anybody. He was just going to retire. I figured he'd be a late signee, you know, in it for a training camp that needed a receiver, but I guess he was done.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his best season was that year with Peyton, where Peyton went for almost 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, and he had 1,400 yards that year. And that's where he made, I mean, I think the only 1,000-yard season, excuse me, he only had 3,000-yard seasons, and they were all in Denver with Peyton. So certainly that, but always a guy that you could rely on for almost 100 targets.
Yeah.
Had a pretty good season. He was with the Bills last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was really good for like the first six, seven games, and I think injuries caught up to him. But yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was still good at the age of 30, what, three or whatever he was last year?
34. Yeah, he was 42 for 626. But yeah, like you said, Rob, when in the early part of the season, when Beasley was still, fighting with the whole vaccination status thing, he was consistently coming down with, you know, six to eight targets and, you know, between 50 and 100 yards. And then obviously, like you said, week nine, he kind of fell off. And I believe that's when Beasley came back and took over that slot role.
So some other news points I want to hit on. We kind of, you know, touched on it in my over-unders, but Joe Flacco's getting the start in New York Jets. Up to 4 weeks is the projection for Zach Wilson being out. Does Joe Flacco remain the starter for that time, or what do you think?
I mean, all depends on the record. I mean, if somehow the Jets – after 4 weeks or 4-0 and Flacco's look good and he smokes the over this week and does whatever the next several weeks, then I think you'd say, hey, even if he's ready, you're like, we're just going to be careful with our franchise quarterback, blah, 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 and give it another week or two and secretly hope he struggles. But it's all going to be a play on the field.
Yeah, I certainly think that with Flacco starting the first four games, you bump up the Jets pass catchers for those weeks, because Flacco is great at if nothing else, throwing it downfield and hoping he gets a PI and hey, maybe somebody comes down with one. And I saw a stat that said that when Flacco, that game that Flacco started, Elijah Moore had a 31% target share. So I think that bumps him up quite a bit in these first four games. Now, whether that, you know, gets split a little bit with Garrett Wilson or whether, you know, Flacco leans more on the guy that's had a year of experience under his belt rather than the fresh blood. You know, it's yet to see. But yeah, I think I'm getting nervous about Zach Wilson. And there are reports that inside of that facility, there isn't a consistent, you know, love for Zach Wilson behind the scenes. Now, whether that's coming from the front office or the coaching staff or what, that's never good to hear. I don't think that this has anything to do with it, just because, you know, friend of the show, Dr. Edwin Porras said, hey, this 2 to 4 week timeline was always very ambitious. It was always more of like a 4 to 6 week timeline. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. So, you know, you try not to look into it too much, but it will be interesting, like you said, after these 4 weeks, what happens.
Ready, another quarterback officially getting the start. I mean, Baker Mayfield is one we heard before our draft, but Geno Smith officially the starter in Seattle. I don't know how much that does for the pass catchers in Seattle. I mean, we saw Geno Smith starting last year too.
Yeah, another interesting report came out today. The Seahawks GM, John Snyder, the reason that trade was a match made in heaven for the Seahawks was John Snyder wanted Drew Lock. off in that Russell Wilson trade. He was the young quarterback that he wanted to target in trading away Russ, which I don't know what the fuck he's seen that the rest of us haven't, but yeah, I mean, Geno coming out and starting week one isn't necessarily a surprise. It's the better of bad options.
Well, I mean, didn't Locke get hurt in the preseason too when he was slated to get a lot of reps in one of the games and then he hurt something?
COVID.
Oh, that was it. That was it. He got COVID, which put him out. And so that put him behind. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, maybe he's starting. Because like you said, you know, the GM, when the GM wants you, that's something. But, yeah, that whole passing game is going to be a bit of a hit and miss all year and probably a lot of miss.
Our final news before I launch into a couple injury tidbits. James Robinson is active to share the backfield in Jacksonville within week one. I know we've had a lot of talk about James Robinson and how he's a blotter. You know, does the Achilles affect everything or what's going on? Or was it an Achilles or was it an ACL? I always forget.
Achilles.
Okay. So, James Robinson officially supposed to share the backfield week one. He's going to be there.
So let me add one to your over under here, and I'll verify with DraftKings what theirs is. But my over under for James Robinson week one against the Manders, or the Commies, whichever one you prefer, 50 and a half yards. And I'll throw that to you guys.
Okay. I do just want to officially say that this is not affiliated in any way with the official Blake's over under segment of this podcast, because this is not gelling with my theme selected this week. This is a Tyler's only. Doing his own thing off the cuff here. 50 yards.
I'm under that. I'm under that. He hasn't played all preseason.
I would almost say you should sit it at the number of snaps, or number of carries rather, not snaps.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I just looked at DraftKings and they don't even have a line for Robinson. They have ETN's line set right at about 50. And I don't think that this team is going over, 120 rushing yards. So, yeah, I would personally go under on that. You know, I think you expect him to see, 10 for 35, 10 for 40, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I don't think he gets much over 10 touches, period, for the game. I think that's silly. That would be what last year's team would do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A coaching staff, they didn't know what they were doing. I'd like to believe Peterson, even though he's an ex-Eagle coach, knows what he's doing. He's not going to put his guy coming off an Achilles when he's got a guy who's healthy and probably a lot faster and, you know, fits his scheme a little bit better than Robinson. But
who also hasn't played a NFL regular season snap.
Correct. Also correct.
Yeah. All right. So injured
there in the preseason, right? At least he's getting – had a carry or two in the preseason, unlike Robinson.
So couple injuries that are relatively, I don't know if they're all new injuries, but we had a practice on, today. Reports came out after our draft was on Sunday. Alan Lazard, he's supposed to be a focal point in the receiving offense of the Green Bay Packers, out of practice today due to an ankle injury. Unclear whether or not he'll be starting this week.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a murky wide receiver picture for the Packers even murkier. And those who were hoping Lazard was going to, eat up a lot of those looks that Davante Adams vacated is just like, I'm sorry, probably not.
Yeah, and that Rodgers wants him on the field, so this is going to hurt Green Bay, and I'm very happy with myself taking Minnesota outright in week one. My bet there.
Van Jefferson ruled out for this week. He's just not ready to retake the field. I mean, he went undrafted in our league, so there's not a lot to talk about there, but for sure that means you were, the second receiver there, what's his name? Allen Robinson isn't going to have any real contention because, Tyler Higbee's basically, good for what, 5 catches, maybe a game.
Yeah. And they saw good things out of Skowronek or whatever, slot receiver that I don't think with Van Jefferson, they're not going to try to rush him back when they have two healthy guys.
Yep.
Agreed.
Michael Thomas on track, in quotes, to start week one, has not really played for 2 years. Do you, as if you're a Michael Thomas owner, do you have any confidence starting him this week?
Zero. On track to start does not mean on track to get starter snaps. So he may start, but I don't see how, you said it, he's missed nearly 2 years. I don't see how you put a guy out there and give him starter snaps. He may start the game, but boy, I'm playing somebody else until I see it. But fantasy for me is a see it and believe it kind of thing. I got to see it and then I'll believe it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have better options, then I certainly wouldn't be, you know, hesitant to start him. Just even if he plays half snaps, right? If he's out there for half snaps, but gets targeted, you know, on 40% of those, that could still be a good game. And I got to believe that if he's on the field and he's as good as they're saying that he's been, then he's going to get targeted. So even if the conditioning isn't quite there yet, if you play limited snaps but still get targeted, then you're still going to put up a decent game.
Right, you're not looking for someone on the waiver wire or something like that to throw in there as like a Hail Mary.
I'll give you this exact example. In our dynasty league, I have Michael Thomas, Tyler Boyd, and Nico Collins as my three receiving options outside of CeeDee Lamb. And right. I need to start two of them.
Yeah, and I'm playing Thomas.
I'm playing Thomas in that scenario. So, yeah. You know.
Alrighty, couple tight ends. Zach Ertz limited in practice this week, and also George Kittle limited due to a groin injury in practice this week too. I mean, yeah.
Ring the Reaper bell. That's Reaper number one of the year.
Which one, Kittle or Zach Ertz?
Kittle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, both are obviously a big deal. Ertz was supposed to be a focal point of this offense with Hopkins suspended, so. You know, I think, and Rondell Moore, I think, is questionable as well. So, Hollywood,
like, maybe
that in the running game there for Kittle. I mean, man, I don't get what's going on with this guy's body, because this just popped up on Monday, and man, soft tissue injury the week before week one. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll go backwards real quick with Kittle. I think the thing with him is, he was real famous for the years that he was really good of just running angry and just not avoiding contact and just running through linebackers and safeties and defensive backs. And I think that's just caught up to him. You can't run like with reckless abandon as a tight end and survive. To go to Arizona, it's just bad news for them. Lose, maybe without Ertz, maybe without Moore. If that happens, you got to be worried going in if you're a Kyler Murray owner. Just like, who's he throwing to?
All right, that is all I had for our news. I think we're safe to move into our matchups this week.
Ooh, let's go!
The Bulldogs!
Yale Bulldogs!
Yeah, Bulldogs.
Wow. Not so fast!
Our first matchup this week is the Fly Eagles Fly hosting the Iowa Corn Wieners. All right, let's see. I'm going to
hang on, Blake. Hang on. We need to do one thing here.
Go for it.
Love the two hole. I am totally never going to get sick of that.
I do think, just for time's sake, we shouldn't play that entire thing every time we introduce Rob's team. I think we can cut it off after Fly Eagles Fly, and then I love the two holes. Throw that in there, but it's like 15 seconds of dead podcasting.
Nah, I disagree. We're playing the whole thing the entire time.
I will forever hate that.
Me too.
All righty. I'm going to try to remember this year to continue to, you know, bring in the home, quote unquote, home team, and then name their starters shit first rather than going from left to right. But we'll see how long that lasts. So Fly Eagles Fly is going to have Russell Wilson at Seattle for quarterbacks, whereas Corn Wieners is going to have Aaron Rodgers at Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Russ already, so I'm not going to go too much into him. And we talked about Rodgers not having Lazard potentially. I do think that Rodgers is going to have to throw more to win that game. I don't think it's going to be difficult for Denver to beat Seattle. So that's my only concern here, but give me Russ.
Okay. This is a annoyingly tough one to choose. I do want to lean Russ just the revenge factor pushes it over the edge for me. Moving into our running backs, Eagles Fly is going to have Christian McCaffrey home against Cleveland and DeAndre Swift home against Philly versus Corn Wieners, Aaron Jones at Minnesota as well, and Breece Hall home against Baltimore.
Yeah, so I actually really like the stack of Aaron Jones and Rodgers here, just because I think that if the receivers aren't there, he's going to have to rely on the running backs.
100%.
But, you know, we talk about this a lot. The worst running back for fantasy in this matchup is Breece Hall. So give me CMC and DeAndre Swift. And look, you're probably going to get 100% CMC week one. So that's a win right there. You know, whether you can get that going forward, we'll see.
Yeah, CMC is golden week one. Breece Hall is one of those players that, just like Rob was saying earlier, he's a wait and see player for me. I would have him on the bench, you know, even if you lose out on that on a monster game one, I think the risk is too much there that you get, you know, more of a true 50-50 timeshare in New York. So I'd be scared to throw him out there. I don't know what else we have. I mean, I see.
It's not good. It's not good.
So moving into our receivers, Fly Eagles Fly has Michael Pittman Jr. at Houston and Cortland Sutton stacked with Russell Wilson at Seattle versus Justin Jefferson home against Green Bay and Keenan Allen home against the Raiders. I got that right.
Yeah. So I like this, how both of these teams have stacked up here. I think, wow, this is a really good matchup all around. So that Chargers Raiders game has a really high over under. I think it's either the top or second highest one of the week. So you gotta go with Keenan Allen and Justin Jefferson here, but you know, Pittman and Sutton could certainly make this close. I don't think that Pittman and Sutton's teams are going to have to do quite as much as Jefferson and Keenan Allen.
Yep, I think you nailed it, Tyler. I'm going to go with Jefferson and Allen as well. I was going to say something else, but I forgot it. So moving to the tight ends, Dawson Knox at the Rams for Eagles Fly versus Dalton Schultz home against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll get into this later, but that Tampa Bay running.
I do want to interrupt you. That Dawson Knox at Rams, like we said before, is a Thursday night football matchup. So, Tyler, you do have to temper all of your analysis that it's going to be low scoring, like you always say it is.
That is true. That is very true. Yeah, I mean, just with that alone, I'm going Dalton Schultz. But on top of that, with Dallas facing this really good Tampa Bay run defense, I think they're going to have to rely a lot on those short passes to get, you know, run through the air, as some might say. And so I think Dalton Schultz on the play action rollouts and stuff like that should have a decent workload this week.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup between these two tight ends. Dawson Knox just getting, I think that was just today, getting his big contract that he's been waiting on for a long time. So they might be looking to use him in Thursday night. And I think you're an idiot with your, I know you've kind of tempered that or adjusted that over time, but you'll always be forever the low scoring Thursday night boy.
I don't remember where that came from, but I stand by it.
You said it for like 2 or 3 years straight that it's a Thursday night game. These are always low scoring and it's been proven wrong several times. And yeah, suck it. It's going to be Dawson Knox. Flexes. Fly Eagles Fly has Travis Etienne at Washington and Allen Robinson home against Buffalo versus Alan Lazard, a shaky play at Minnesota, and Elijah Mitchell at Chicago for the corn wieners.
Yeah, so obviously Elijah Mitchell is the best of this matchup. Etienne and Robinson are both solid this week. Lazard, you just don't know. If he's in, great, but we talked about it in the draft show that having three Packers in your lineup isn't optimal. So I don't love that. So just by that, I have to give this to Fly Eagles Fly here. And Rob. Hey, Rob, yeah. Do you want to sing your song?
No.
I actually feel really good about Allen Robinson just going forward in the entire season. I think I said that in the post-draft podcast as well. I'm really excited to be proven wrong on that take, that he's absolutely washed, proven by his last year in Chicago. But we'll see. Defenses, I mean, Tyler, do you have anything to say about Tampa Bay at Dallas versus the Rams home against Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an easy win for Tampa Bay here. Obviously no Tyron Smith. They did sign Jason Peters for Dallas, but you know, will he know, I guess with a guy that's 40, it doesn't really matter if he needs to know the blocking schemes and stuff like that. Go for it, Rob.
He won't play.
Oh, gotcha.
He's not playing week one. He's on the practice squad, and while they ramp him up because he's 40 years old, Tyler Smith is going to start at left tackle. And so he's mentoring him and trying to get him as much that he can of his knowledge. And maybe he plays then, Peters plays week two or three. But wow. He will not play this game. He will
give me not a second. Give me a second while I go bet the over on Tampa Bay sacks for week one.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a fucking bloodbath.
Yeah, that's why when this came up, I'm like, this is Tampa easy. We know the Bills are going to do, you know, whatever against the Rams. But I see Dallas struggling mightily at home against this Tampa Bay team. And regardless of what happens with Brady and their line, actually, both offenses could struggle. This could be 17-10.
All righty. Tyler, I'll have you go through the Iowa Corn Wieners bench. I have a couple things that I'm thinking about. I'm wondering if you're thinking the same thing. Then we'll have Rob go through his bench.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at this, you know, Ramondre Stevenson isn't the worst play in the world if you have to flex him. I don't think I'm touching Tyler Lockett. That one is one where I want to see it to believe it. I guess you can rely a little bit on the tape that they have from last year with Geno Smith. I don't believe it was good for Tyler Lockett. So, you know, go back and look at that to see if you want to add confidence there. You know, I wouldn't hate flipping Kirk Cousins with Aaron Rodgers here. I think that he has more upside in the passing game than Rodgers does this year. He could go for 300. You know, if you have to play Nico Collins, it's not the worst thing in the world over Lazard. I wouldn't play Marvin Jones until I see it. I wouldn't play KJ Hamler until I see it. I wouldn't play Mike Gesicki till you see it. There's a lot of wait and see on this bench. So really the only three people I'm considering are Stevenson, Collins, and Kirk Cousins.
And are you moving? So here's what I'm thinking. You move Elijah Mitchell up instead of Breece Hall. And then you flip out Hall for one of those players that you're talking about in the flex.
I don't think so. I think you have to play Hall this week. And, you know, this is one where you just have to believe that they invested so much in this kid and they, you know, are going to feed him.
Okay.
Even though he's looked like the shitty Iowa State back that he is in the preseason.
Okay, we're going to strike that one from the record. Rob, what are you thinking about your bench?
I mean, I have a lot of choices. My big spot, Robinson was my flex. Robinson was obviously going to stay in there once I heard, like you mentioned earlier, that Van Jefferson wasn't going to play. You know, I do like their slot options, but that means Robinson's pivotal to this. This is going to be a high-scoring game, I believe, on Thursday night. My spot is that ETN spot. Do I follow the hype and put Pierce, who's the starter now for Houston? Though I don't like him against Indy, but one of their linebackers might be out. So, yeah, that could be a last-minute thing. Or do I go with Moore, who we talked about with the quarterback what's his name?
Flacco.
Flacco, thank you. With Flacco playing, and Moore got, like you said, like 13, 14 targets or whatever in that one game that he threw for 295 last year. Do I, you know, strike for that and play more against Baltimore? Though that's really what I'm thinking is between those three.
Alrighty, so let's start with Rob, since you were the last one talking. Who's winning this matchup?
Well, it's obvious last year I picked against myself the whole time, and it pretty much worked because I did terrible. But this year, I'm probably going to win because I have a terrible Eagles name and an Eagles thing that's going to, we go win Eagles. And so because I hate the Eagles to win, it's going to be me. So I will win this week. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, God, he said it. I didn't think he would say it.
Look, I'm not going to rule it out that if Rob says it, every single week he goes 14-0. I'm not ruling that out.
I do want to say, I just had this thought. When Rob wins this league, he's the champion and the number one in points, you know, which is inevitable since he had the second overall pick. For our final podcast, we get everybody in the league to record a live singing of the Fly Eagles Fly fight song.
I think that will be an abomination because most of the people that listen to this podcast are probably tone deaf.
Myself included.
So, Tyler, who are you taking here?
Yeah, I'm going to take Fly Eagles Fly. I just think that Rob has more options on the bench. Like he said, you know, you could even flip Elijah Moore, Damian Pearson, if you wanted to. I just think that there's too much here and there are already question marks for Sam. So it's I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
I think it will be close if everything goes right for Sam. I think Jefferson and Keenan Allen and whoever he starts at quarterback will carry this roster this week or carry this team this week. And I think it'll make it close, but I do believe Fly Eagles Fly will eke it out in the end.
Eek.
All right, Rob, you are the host of our guesser tonight. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what the dice say?
Ooh, the dice? Let's see. Is even the home team?
Even is the home team.
Nope, that's incorrect. Dice. Odd is the home team.
Well, then I've been doing it wrong all year.
Well, okay. The dice rolled a 2.
So that is the corner.
That'll be the wieners.
Okay. Of course, we always name the other one first. So last year we probably did have the home team is technically the home team is the 2. It was whoever was second in the thing. No?
That's I can tell you for certain that the home team has been odd since we've been doing
okay.
It.
Okay. Let's gotcha.
All right. Our next matchup is Testicle T hosting the Fighting Hedgehogs. Sorry, the last matchup was dead even projected 50-50, same points and everything. T versus Hedgehogs has Testicle T projected to win 142 to 137. T is going to have Josh Allen at the Rams at Thursday night versus the Hedgehogs' Kyler Murray against Kansas City.
Yep, this one's real easy. It's Josh Allen's the number one. We already talked about Kyler Murray. I think I mentioned in our news segment that Kyler Murray owner might be nervous this week, depending on who's going to suit up and whatnot. Just based on that risk sitting here Wednesday, it's got to be Josh Allen tomorrow.
I think this one is really, really, really close. I think that, you know, that Kyler, you know, that game could go big and that game could rely on a lot on passing, but so could the Rams and Buffalo. I do think it's Josh Allen, but I think it's very close. And it's a game for Kyler before the new Call of Duty comes out. So we know he's better before that happens.
Nice. All righty. Running backs. Testicle T has Derrick Henry home against the Giants. And Javonte Williams. Sorry, I see J. Williams and then D. I always want to say that's Jamal Williams for Detroit. Very close. But Javonte is at Seattle versus Joe Mixon home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Cam Akers home against Buffalo Thursday night.
Yeah, this matchup entirely comes down to who I think is the worst running back here, and it's Cam Akers, and it's not close. They're not going to give him 100% of the work. It's going to be a 50-50 split between him and Henderson at best. While Javonte may be splitting work, he's going to be the better of the two backs. And then you have, you know, Henry against a worse defense than Mixon against Pittsburgh. So this is easy. Give me Henry and Williams.
Yep. every point I was going to make, Tyler just said. So give me Henry and Williams.
All righty, receivers. We got Testicle T with Mike Williams home against the Raiders and Gabe Davis at the Rams, also Thursday night. The Hedgehogs has Jamar Chase home against the Steelers and A.J. Brown with the at Detroit.
So, you know, you first look at this one and it looks easy, and then you look into the matchups and you're like, oh, it might be closer than you think. I mean, Chase is a touchdown waiting to happen. We saw that last year. He could do anything at any point. A.J. Brown, I mean, we have yet to see what Philly can do offensively, but against Detroit, they could really bust out. Mike Williams, Tyler already mentioned how that this is one of the higher scoring matchups in the league. And then Gabe Davis, if we're going to come down to who's the worst, I got to say it's Gabe Davis just because he's a two. Though you could argue that Williams is a two. I'm going to go with Chase and Brown, but it's so much closer than the names.
Yeah, I think the reason for that, Rob, is would you say that A.J. Brown probably has the least potential to go over 100 yards here?
That's a tough one.
The least? Yeah, yes, I would say just because I do think Dallas Goedert gets a lot in this game, and that's a problem we'll see later. And I do see that the rookie last year also – who's Smith gets plenty. Plus we know that Hurts is going to run the ball. But God, Gabe Davis, I mean, they're talking him up in Buffalo. And if that game is going to be a shootout, I mean, I like the stack with Allen. So that's why I think it's just close. It's real close. I'm just going to give it to, cause Chase and AJ have that ability to break a game open.
Yeah, I agree. Chase is the only receiver here who has the potential to go over 200 on any given week.
Right.
So,
yep. It doesn't matter who against.
Our tight ends in this matchup are Kyle Pitts home against New Orleans for a T versus Dallas Goedert, previously mentioned, at Detroit. So we're stacking A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert here for the Hawks.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that on top of the facts that Pitts is just the better tight end makes me say Pitts 100%.
Yeah, it does me too. The only caveat is that New Orleans is a really good pass defense, and nothing on Atlanta may scare them. So I'm not sure how they'll defend Pitts. But yeah, he's like way more talented than Goddard. Though Goddard's not, you know, like a terrible tight end. But in almost every matchup, I'm going to give it to Pitts.
Okay, flex spots. T has Amon-Ra St. Brown home against Philly and Hunter Renfrow at the Chargers. A lot of Detroit, Philly, and Vegas Chargers in this matchup.
Right.
The Hogs have J.K. Dobbins at New York Jets and Chris Godwin at Dallas.
I assume there's going to be changes here, or at least I hope so, because right now the Hogs have like the all, will they play, will they be effective coming off injury flex spot here with Dobbins and Godwin. Super high risk. I would do something else. I wouldn't want my I'm okay with trying one of them, but both of them is a package deal in your flex. Sorry, give me St. Brown and give me Renfrow.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I don't have confidence that either one of these guys are going to start this week. And then on top of that with Renfrow, so they are going to have, what did I just see? The Chargers are not going to have JC Jackson for this match.
Correct.
So, that means that they're going to push all the help over to Davante Adams. They're not going to be able to just one-on-one Davante Adams. And so I think you're going to see a lot of Hunter Renfrow underneath in a game where Waller hasn't been ramped up because he had the injury / contract negotiation. I think this is a big week for Renfrow.
All right.
Do these defenses matter to you at all? T has the Chargers home against the Raiders, and then Hedgehogs has Baltimore at the Jets.
Yeah, they really do. Like I said, Chargers aren't going to have J.C. Jackson. I don't think that really changes them a ton for a fantasy perspective. It could be a higher scoring game, but the Ravens against the Jets are just that's going to be a bloodbath. So yeah, give me the Ravens easy.
Yeah, it's too tasty.
Shit. Just about died on my own spit.
Don't do it.
Rob, go ahead and tell me about what Tesco T can do with their bench.
I mean, you could put Rashad Penny in here. In with the flex spot if you didn't want to, if you, you know, thought something against. I like the Renfro play, but St. Brown, I mean, Penny right now is going to pretty much have the backfield to himself. And he's hurt later in the year, but he's going to be healthy week one, so he's probably your best bet right now. The rest, no, there's nobody else. Everybody else is either a backup or a dart throw. If you had an injury problem, a dart throw I like is McKenzie. If that Rams-Buffalo game is a shootout, because that slot gets a lot of work in the Buffalo offense, but that's about it.
Yeah, and you're not going to double up McKenzie and Gabe Davis.
No, exactly.
But yeah, I agree with you. I think Penny does have to be in this lineup. It's just a matter of where. For me, it would be above Amaron St. Brown. Like I said, I believe in Renfro this week. But yeah, I mean, I think this lineup, you know, it's a classic Nick early season lineup. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Tyler, you were supposed to not talk about Nick's. You're supposed to talk about Ryan's bench.
Well, I was commenting on Rob's comments is what, you know, how that normally happens. For Ryan, you know, so let's assume that J.K. Dobbins and Godwin are both out, right? Because that frees up two spots.
Sure.
I'm not touching Chris Olave. Depth chart just came out in New Orleans that said he is the six for that in that wide receiver room.
Wow.
And that's no bueno. So at that point, well, I mean, you could argue starting Daryl Henderson over Cam Akers as it is. And I think I would be. Outside of that, I mean, I think Pollard is going to be in this lineup at the end of the day because of injury. And then it's who the fuck else do you put in here? And whether you want to take the shot on Robbie Anderson with Baker under center, if you want to try Sky Moore and hope that the preseason hype pays off, if you want to try Noah Fant, I mean, it's not great. And leading into my pick here, that's why I'm going to go testicle T.
I am too. Going with the T. I agree. Pollard's got to be in your lineup because when you were talking earlier about the tight end that Dallas is going to make those run to pass, I think when you were saying that, I was going to chime in that I think actually Pollard is the one that benefits most from that because that's what they've been doing all preseason is having him fill that role, putting him in the slot, running him out of the backfield, those kinds of things. I think he could have a six plus catch game.
I'm going to go with T as well. It's a queen sweep. What's
the dice says? The dice also goes with the T, a one.
All right. Next up is the Scary Terry hosting the Fantasy Reapers.
Oh, it's a Halloween edition of Fantasy Football, baby.
Right?
Spooky.
Yes, it's spooky season already.
All right, Rob. Scary Terry is going to have Dak Prescott home against Tampa Bay. Reapers are going to have Matt Stafford home against Buffalo. I think the biggest question here is what's Matt Stafford's elbow going to be?
I think it's nothing. I think it was made a big deal because he missed time, which he should over the preseason because there's no point. As he said in his press conference, It's no big deal. I mean, yeah, when you're younger, it doesn't hurt like, you know, like now, but he can make all the throws. It's no big deal. You know, I think it's a nothing burger unless he gets hit on that elbow or land, you know, hits a helmet with it or something like that. I don't see that there's an issue.
Sorry, are you taking Stafford then? You're assuming that Stafford's 100% healthy.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I believe this game's a shootout. I think Stafford is the easy play here. We already talked about the problems Dallas is going to have in game one. They're not going to be able to run the ball. When Dallas couldn't run the ball last year with Amari Cooper and their offensive line decently healthy, they still couldn't get anything done. They're missing Gallup. They are missing their left tackle, starting a rookie. I don't like Dallas in this game.
Breaking news.
Breaking news out of Arizona as of half an hour ago. Looks like Zach Ertz and Rondale Moore will play on Sunday.
Ooh, okay.
That does move things up a little bit better for Kyler.
Yeah, that does help a little bit.
Yes.
Running backs. I agree with you, Rob. Even with a banged up Matt Stafford, we all know he's going to play through injuries, going to play through everything. And I think that the game that he's playing in outweighs the potential of Dak, especially with all of the issues that Dak's going to be facing. Running backs. Scary Terry has Najee Harris at Cincinnati and playoff Leonard Fournette at Dallas versus Reapers, Jonathan Taylor at Houston and Saquon Barkley at Tennessee. All road running backs here.
Right, which is kind of crazy. Of all these running backs, obviously, Taylor is the best one and has the best matchup. Would you be surprised, Blake, let me ask you this, if Taylor against Houston on that fast track goes for a 180 and two touchdowns, one of them is 60-yarder, would that surprise you?
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, and all Barkley's got to do is be average, and that beats Najee Harris and Fournette. So based on that alone, I'm going to go Taylor and Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, judging off of – I mean, Najee Harris gets the volume, but off Dallas's run defense last year, especially their up-the-middle defense, Leonard Fournette could, you know, break off average 12-yard runs every other play. So, I mean, it'd be interesting. I think looking at it.
From Dallas, you've seen improvement from the nose tackles or the D tackles, you know, whichever way they want to use them this offseason. But still, that it's a very below average group. I mean, even with Bohanna in there, the 360-pound nose tackle, yeah, he's going to be a run stuffer, but he's still ultra raw. So, yeah, I'm not going to worry about Dallas up the middle, or I am going to worry about Dallas up the middle a lot.
Yeah. Receivers, Scary Terry, Debo Samuel at Chicago, and DJ Moore home against Cleveland for Terry. I already said that. Reapers has CeeDee Lamb home against Tampa Bay and Hollywood Brown. Now not so alone in that passing offense for Kansas City, or for Arizona, home against Kansas City.
So we talked earlier about Baker having a good day against his former team. And if he's going to do it, he has to do it with DJ Moore.
Absolutely.
So I like DJ Moore here. Debo, they're going to find a way to do whatever Debo wants to do against Chicago. Brown does have great upside against Kansas City. Love it. I think CD, unfortunately, maybe I must be really down on the Cowboys this week. CD's the weak link here. And just because of that, because I just don't like Dallas against Tampa Bay at home, I'm going to go Moore and Samuel.
So you want to know how twisted my fantasy brain has become at this point? I just talked up how, this could be the Hollywood show because he's going to be the only show in town. And then all of a sudden we're like, well, these two guys could play. I'm like, oh, great. They're going to take coverage and Hollywood's going to be awesome. And it's like, oh, well, that neither of those makes sense.
No.
It's the Dallas team in general this year is so worrisome, especially from a Dallas fan perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Debo Samuel, I don't think he's not going to get, you know, all the touchdowns he had last year. Cause I forget. I forget what the total was. Cause he had like 300 and some on the ground rushing and then like 8 touchdowns.
Yeah. Something like that.
And then 900 yards receiving and fucking another 10 touchdowns. Shit.
Debo had 1400 yards and 6 touchdowns receiving and 365 yards and 8 touchdowns rushing for a total of 14.
You got the rushing perfect. You were way low on receiving.
Yeah, whatever. You can't sit there and expect that kind of production from Debo again, but you're still going to get a solid, probably 1100 yards, 9 touchdowns or whatever. So I don't know why I went on that tangent, but it's going to be Debo.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
Tight end. Scary Terry has Pat Freiermuth at Cincinnati versus George Kittle, who, as we said in the injury section, he is banged up. He's at Chicago.
Yeah, 100% lies on whether the gong bongs for Kittle. You know,
well, his groin is injured, so it is part of his dong.
The gong. I mean,
do we need to make a dong gong sound for groin injuries?
Yeah, possibly, dong gong. Yeah. Please, I would get you on know, that.
Obviously, if Kittle plays, you know, you gotta start him. But how effective is he? He might not even play. So this one, it's my first push. Kittle should beat Freiermuth, but I don't know what you have in Kittle right now. So. Dong gong. Perfect. Love it.
Yeah, we should definitely get a recording of somebody saying dong gong and then play the gong sound for sure. We'll need to outsource that.
I mean, I have something close to that if you want that.
Oh, I mean,
pre-jack.
There you go. Perfect.
That is pretty close.
I don't like pushing, so I'm going to go Freiermuth. Right, flexes. Okay. We got Scary Terry with DK Metcalf home against Denver and Antonio Gibson home against Jacksonville versus the Reapers, Rashad Bateman at the Jets, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire at Arizona.
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, Metcalf, I guess we'll see what he's going to be. I have no clue, you know, because – their quarterback situation's terrible. Gibson was going to be a punt returner, and then this week, old Riverboat Ron says, "Oh well, he'll get the rock." Well, what? Twice, three times, a lady? How many times? I do not know what Gibson is going to be. I don't know what CH is going to be, but I think maybe better than Gibson. And Bateman is at least the number two in Baltimore. Oh, and they actually have a quarterback. This is one of the grossest flex matchups this week that I've seen after three. And I hate it. I guess I'll go CH and Bateman just because why not?
Yeah, I agree, CH and Bateman. I think Antonio Gibson will get the ball up to four or more times. So there's my official prediction.
Wow, you should go ahead and take that to Vegas. See what kind of odds you can get on that. Fucking minus 10,000.
My whole point of saying that was to see Rob's reaction. I'm super glad he was drinking when I said that because he almost spit up all his drink.
Just about.
Yeah. Like I said, it's close and it's dirty, but it's Bateman at CEH. Rob, do you care about the defense matchup of Green Bay's defense versus Denver's defense?
I mean, yes, in that I don't think Seattle's going to be very good on offense, and Denver is pretty decent. So this is heavily weighs for Denver for me. The Green Bay defense is very good, but I think Minnesota's vastly improved on offense just by getting rid of their head coach. So I think they'll actually give up some here. So I do like Denver better.
So one more nugget about Minnesota. Terrence Newman, former Dallas Cowboy, but played under Mike Zimmer for a number of years, came out and said, look, Mike Zimmer's the kind of ass kicker you bring in when you need to turn around a culture, but he, like, long-term, he's a cancer because he is always just an ass kicker. And so he goes, I expect very, very good things from the Vikings this year because they just have that weight lifted off of them.
Yeah.
I've heard that too, so. Look through Scary Terry's bench. Is there anything you change? I mean, I'm looking through here. Zach Ertz is, I mean, you know, if he's going to play, maybe you throw him in instead of Freiermuth. Otherwise, the only other component sitting here is David Montgomery, and I don't know if you find a place for him on the starting lineup this week.
Okay. Well, I've got one I would put in. I would not find a place for Montgomery. I don't like him against San Francisco. I do like Mooney. I like Mooney better than I like Gibson. So Mooney's the number one. If Chicago's going to do anything, especially at home, it's going to be throwing it to Mooney. Fields has shown, you know, an affinity for him as the number one. I mean, didn't he get over 1,000 yards last year with him and Andy Dalton throwing to him for crying out loud? So I would definitely put Mooney in instead of Gibson in the flex.
All right, Tyler, we'll hand the reins over to you. Talk about your team, your bench. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, so one of the things with taking George Kittle, I was targeting getting a backup tight end. So Njoku was that backup. I think low risk, moderate reward sort of tight end. You know, they've been talking him up. They gave him a contract. So potentially, you know, I'm not going to be in the worst case scenario if Kittle is gone. I'm not going to be starting, you know, a nobody. other than that, I don't have a ton here. I mean, if Kadarius Toney is healthy, I think I have to play him. I don't remember taking him and I regret it. I have regrets because I hate Kadarius Toney with all of my being, but that's really the only one. I mean, I could flex an AJ Dillon if necessary, but
that's what I was going to ask you, Tyler. What is your thoughts on Dillon instead of CEH?
Not even close for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Nope. Right. I would take, I'm taking CEH just because I, you know, this week one is going to tell us everything. And yeah, I think that the Packers are going to have to pass quite a bit, which means an Aaron Jones game rather than an AJ Dillon.
All right.
All right, Tyler, I'll trade you Devontae Parker for Kadarius Toney.
I wouldn't take Devontae Parker if you paid me.
How about Jacoby Myers?
I wouldn't take any New England player if you paid me.
Solid.
Never mind. Yeah, before we go into our picks here, I forgot to mention at the top. The current projected winner of this matchup is the Fantasy Reapers, 142 to 140. So it's still a very close matchup. Rob, I would like to see the dice do our first pick here.
Okay. Reapers.
The dice are going to take the Reapers. I am going to go with, in a close matchup, Scary Terry. Let's go, Rob, you next. We'll have Tyler wrap it up with his team or his matchup.
I'm going to go with the Reapers, assuming Kittle's not going to play and he replaces him with Njoku. Just because I like certain spots on this team to carry, and Terry can win. But much like a matchup we talked about earlier, he's going to have everybody hit their peak potential in order to win, where the Reapers have people that will do it just automatically. So give me the Reapers.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. I'm taking myself.
All right, our next matchup is the Backdoor Hot Snakes versus the Kegerator. Currently, Kegerator is projected to win 146 to 135. Anecdote, I'm also playing the Kegerator in our Dynasty League week one, so that's super fun. Can't wait to beat Nate twice. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Going into this matchup, the Kegerator, who's the home team, has Lamar Jackson at the Jets versus Snakes, Tom Brady at Dallas.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Give me Lamar here. I know that he's not going to throw for probably 300 yards, but he could definitely run for 100. And Brady with the long layoff. Yeah. You know, he doesn't need the ramp up period that most people do because he's Brady, but I also don't think he's going to have to throw for 350 to beat Dallas.
Agreed 100%. And it's mostly because it won't be like last year where it was a big shootout game. Because I don't think Dallas's offense would be able to keep up. I just don't think that's going to happen. And Lamar is, we talked about the fuck you tour. We'll see if it happens Friday. That's the deadline for him to get his contract extension as his own agent. And he shuts off talks after that. So if by all accounts, he's not going to get that extension before then he really comes out and is like, guys, you should have paid me. I think he's going to go crazy.
All righty. Running backs, we got Austin Eckler home against the Raiders and Alvin Kamara at Atlanta for Keg versus Snakes, Dalvin Cook home against Green Bay and Zeke Elliott home against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so I'll talk about Keg Raider because, Rob, I want to get your take on Zeke here. But, you know, sure. Eckler, I think he's solid against Vegas. You know, that's going to be a higher scoring game. Kamara, we have yet to see how he is with Jameis, whether Jameis tries to push the ball downfield a little bit more or whether he dumps it off to Kamara. And obviously, Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook. So, Rob, take me through what we should expect from Zeke this week. Are you benching Zeke if you have any other options?
Yes and yes. And I did in Dynasty. I am not playing him in Dynasty. Strictly because Tampa Bay plays the kind of defense where they put an extra hat in the box to make you make that decision. And I would we already talked about the pass catchers that Dallas is missing. I'm making Dak beat me with the ragamuffin bunch that they've got at receiver. Make the rookie play. Make him make catches. Make Brown. Make Brown do something as the number two receiver. Get the box and bring a safety over on CD. And what are you going to do? So Dallas is going to have to get creative to do anything. And, you know, this is easy for me. It's when I looked at this, the first thing you're thinking was we got the in between the tackle runners versus the pass catching backs. Right. And in a normal, I would just take the pass catching back. So it's easy for me. It's Eckler Kamara. Though I think Cook could have a really good game against Green Bay.
Okay. Receiver. Kegrader has Tyreek Hill again, home against New England, and T. Higgins home against Pittsburgh versus Stephon Diggs at the Rams on Thursday night and Mike Evans at Dallas.
So you see, I guess I'm going to go first here, though I should have on the running backs because I didn't want to go first on receiver when Tyler went first on quarterback. So the thing's all screwed around now. But at any rate, I like Diggs. We already talked about the shootout here. Mike Evans, we talked about it already. I don't know how much Tampa Bay's got to throw. Will Mike Evans get those catches? Maybe. Hill? I mean, we'll see. They did have a great preseason game where he got a 52-yard catch against a team, so it's possible. And Higgins, didn't he just come off injury, Tyler? Am I right, Blake? I mean, wasn't he questionable?
Yeah, he had something. Yeah, oh, he like fell on his shoulder or something early on.
Yeah, in camp. Shoulder. Okay.
But it's a non-factor at this point.
So, I mean, just I honestly don't know here.
This is easy peasy. This is easy Diggs and Evans.
Easy Diggs and Evans.
Yeah.
I mean, we give them the edge, but I could see Higgins and Hill beating that.
This is not close.
No,
at all.
All right. Well, I'll give it Diggs Evans, but I think it's closer than that.
I'll do a dollar bet with you.
That what? That it's within what?
That Diggs and Evans outscore those two by more than 5.
Oh, pass.
More than 10.
See, because when I say close, I'm thinking 5. 10? That might be. Yeah.
That's why it's called betting, Rob.
Yeah, I'll take that. Over 10. I think it'll be around the 5 spot, somewhere in there.
Okay, tight ends. Kegrader has Darren Waller at the Chargers versus Cole Kmet home against San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I already said that, you know, I don't think Waller is a huge factor in this game after not having the preseason ramp up. However, Komet's going to be going up against Fred Warner, and I don't know how that matchup is going to go for, you know, Fields and the Bears. Give me Waller. I don't feel good about it, but I just – this a healthy Fred Warner is a nightmare.
I got to stick with my thing about somebody who doesn't do anything all preseason and playing week one. So I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going to go Komet. I think Waller's going to be more of a bring a linebacker out of coverage and let Devontae or the aforementioned their slot receiver. Why can't I'm having a brain fart.
Renfro.
Hunter. Oh, it is Hunter. All I could think of was Hunter Henry. It is Hunter Renfro. Okay. Hunter. I think he's going to be more of a decoy than an actual target this week.
All right, our flex positions. Kegrader has Deontay Johnson at Cincinnati and Devin Singletary at the Rams versus Mike Cordero Patterson home against New Orleans and Brandon Cooks home against the Colts.
Rob, I would like you to retract your statement about my matchup being the grossest flex matchup, because this is the grossest flex matchup.
Yeah, I said up to date.
Yes, yeah.
This one takes it. Yeah, this one takes it.
Yeah, Singletary is gross. I don't like Deontay Johnson this year. Pretty much at all. I don't know what Cordell Patterson is going to be. So just by principle, Cooks is the safest out of all of these and also has potential to go over 100. So give me Cooks and Patterson.
Yeah, it's Cooks and Patterson easy in the second game. So the most recent game against the Saints, I think Patterson had like, now again, a different quarterback, but he had 12 or 13 targets in that game, and brought down 8 or 9 of them. So just if he's used like that in this matchup, because New Orleans is so good on defense, I believe that that swings it. So give me those guys.
So you guys made your decision pretty quick. So I don't think you think this is the grossest one, because it seemed like pretty dang easy on both accounts.
I think this is going to be the lowest scoring flex matchup that we have.
Yeah, by gross, we meant gross players. Not
usually gross is like, I don't know who to pick here. No, 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 no.
Oh, anyway. No, that's a tough matchup.
Gross, it's also gross there, because it's your team and Nate's team.
Which were both rated, I think, top four teams in our power rankings anyway. Kegerator has Buffalo defense at the Rams, and I have the San Francisco defense at Chicago.
Easy. Chicago's, by all accounts, is supposed to be an offensive trash fire this year. Even if they do move the ball and do well, San Francisco is going to do hella better than Buffalo's going to do against the Rams.
Okay. Why don't you guys talk about the Kegerator's bench options, and then I will talk about mine.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. If you didn't have Tyreek Hill on this team, I think Chase Edmonds would be a lock for this lineup. And I think he might need to be regardless. Devonta Smith, I think, should be in this lineup in the flex. I think that you could consider Rondale Moore. I mean, you have a lot of options here for guys to flex in that are better than Singletary and Deontay Johnson.
I mean, I 100% would put Edmonds instead of Singletary, just by default. And then you've got to decide, okay, do you want to go with Smith over Johnson or somebody else in that spot? But I would 100% put Chase Edmonds in instead of Singletary. I mean, let me get a starter in there for a team that's going to try to run the ball. I don't care that you got Hill in there too. I would put him in your flex. I don't care.
Okay. So, yeah. I do just want to say, I mean, there's a lot of Singletary hate going around this year. But going or ending last year, last like what 6 weeks, something like that, he was extremely valuable at the running back fantasy position, and sure. I mean, they seemed like he was the guy there in Buffalo.
Yeah, then they drafted a guy in the second round to be the new guy.
Right. Okay. By all accounts, look real good.
All I'm saying is I think Singletary is being hit on a little hard.
This sounds like you're trying to convince Nate to play Singletary is what it sounds like. Because you want to face it.
I will say this. If you're going to play him, this is the week. Because once, you know, the rookie plays and shows what he can do, I'm sorry. He's going to take over that backfield.
Okay. So as far as my bench goes, I mean, the biggest question is what you guys hit on. You know, do I start Zeke this week? I mean, that's going to be a decision I make probably Sunday morning, because that's where I make all my decisions. But at that point, things shift up. I probably start Cordero Patterson in my second, my RB2 spot. And then I get opened up to, you know, do I throw Adam Thielen in alongside Brandon Cooks?
Yes.
I think that's probably my optimal lineup right there. That's mostly all I can do, unless I go something crazy.
No, I think that's probably your best bet, because your upside for Zeke is not much. What is your best for him? 15 for 65 and a 1 yard touchdown?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's what you'd hope. And that would give you like, what, 12 points? Maybe 14? Where you do have a chance of a red zone touchdown and at least some targets and catches in a higher scoring game with Green Bay and Minnesota. So, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat. Why am I telling you what to do? Shut up, Rob. No, go ahead and play Zeke. Great, great play.
All right. If there's nothing else to add, let's go ahead and make our picks. Going to make those moves probably. And even if I don't, I'm pretty sure Nate's going to choke it away anyway. So I'm going to take myself.
Ah. Let's see what the dice says. The dice takes the home team.
Dice takes Kegerator. Tyler, yep. What do you think?
Look, Nate is a regular season powerhouse, and the curse of the Kegerator, as we discussed at the draft, is real. While I think that you win handily at receiver, I think that Nate can win handily other places. So give me Nate.
I'm going to have to take Nate too. It's going to be close, especially with the changes Blake's probably going to make. I think he makes it closer. He does have some upside. It really hinges on, does he get anything out of Waller? If he gets a passable game, you know, double digits at least out of Waller, then Kegerator wins pretty decently. If he doesn't, then Blake's got a shot at taking this by a couple points.
Oh, so I'm going alone on two matchups so far. Oh my God, that's exciting, week one.
Right?
All right, our final matchup this week is the Hawaiian Shakas. I believe he's the holder of the Commissioner's Cup, our meaningless arbitrary trophy.
How dare you? How fucking dare you?
Well, it is arbitrary. Basically, but is it meaningless?
Basically, it's just another thing for Tyler to stat track on, which is kind of interesting to him.
Right.
The Shakas is playing or are playing. Here's Tubby. Shakas currently projected to win 146 to 140. Shakas are going to have Pat Mahomes at Arizona versus Justin Herbert home against the Raiders.
Boy, I'll tell you what, this is really close, but give me Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, it is really close, and I'm only going to slightly give it to Herbert just because we talked about seeing it. You know, Mahomes has been Mahomes, but I want to see who's going to, you know, who's going to be the one for that team. It can't just be Kelsey, so give me Herbert for now.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to learn in watching the Kansas City offense this week.
Yeah.
Running backs, Nick Chubb at Carolina and Kareem Hunt. That's our doubled-up Cleveland running backs for the Shakas.
Double dip.
James Conner, home against Kansas City, and Josh Jacobs at the Chargers for Tubby.
You know, I was about to say I'm never, ever going to pick Shakas with this double dip, but Conner and Jacobs is fucking gross. It's not it really good. Is.
And this might be actually the game where both Chubb and Hunt do okay.
Give me Conner and Jacobs. I'm not going to do it.
You know, just to be contrarian, I'm going to do it. Give me Chubb and Hunt. Fuck it.
There we go. I hate it. Receivers, Shakas has Cooper Kupp home against Buffalo and Terry McLaurin home against Jacksonville versus Tubby, Davante Adams at the Chargers, and Jerry Jeudy at Seattle.
Wow. You know, if there's ever a game for McLaurin to do well with his new quarterback, this is it. And Cooper Kupp is Cooper Kupp. There's so many questions. I mean, Davante Adams should still be good, obviously, against the Chargers. I mean, he's not going to be like he was in Green Bay, but he still should be pretty good. Denver, you know, is it Sutton? Is it Jeudy? I mean, I guess we'll find out. This is really, really close. To me, Jeudy and McLaurin cancel each other out. I believe more in Kupp in his situation than Adams, so I guess it's Kupp and McLaurin.
Yeah, I have Kupp over Adams and McLaurin over Jeudy, so it's easy for me.
All right.
Okay, tight ends. Travis Kelce at Arizona for the Shakas versus Mark Andrews at the Jets for Tubby.
Boy. And I was I was trying to look the other day because I couldn't remember. I was thinking that Arizona was the team to play tight ends against last year, but I felt like their stats were good. So I'm not sure. And I looked up, Kelce hasn't played Arizona in a couple of years, so that didn't help. I'm going to go Kelce, but it's real, real close. I just think Kelce has a better chance of going over 100.
I'm going to take Andrews because why not? Because it's that close and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's – I'm going to lean Andrews. I think I said it before, Kelce finishes outside the top three of tight ends this year, especially in our league. So I'm going to go Andrews. He's the number one receiver in that offense. Flexes, Michael Thomas at Atlanta and Miles Sanders at Detroit for the Shakas versus TJ Hockenson, double tight ends over here against Philly and Christian Kirk at Washington.
Oh, my goodness. So here's my complete reasoning for this. Detroit's not a mega matchup, but I really don't like any Philadelphia running back. this year. I really don't like Miles Sanders. Michael Thomas has question marks, but Atlanta's a good matchup. Hockenson, I don't know. You were talking about Arizona. Is Philly really good against tight ends or really terrible? What do you? I seem to think that they're just kind of on the road. Didn't they used to be terrible? Yeah, that you played them against them, and now they're a little bit better. And Kirk, you know, we're going to find out if he's the number one for Jacksonville. I hate this one. This is another gross one. Why are these all gross? Oh, my God. Am I really going to go Hockenson and Kirk here?
Yeah, I think that's the move.
If you are, then I'm going contrary, and I'm going Thomas and Sanders.
Okay, I mean, it's so close. I'll go Hock and Kirk. Why not?
Also, Rob, to answer your question, why all these matchups here are terrible, these were the bottom two rated teams. So that's why it's bad.
That would do it.
Well, and also week one is by far the hardest week to pick at all because
right, you don't have
there's any. So much you need to see yet.
Right. Defense. We have New Orleans at Atlanta and Indianapolis at Houston.
I think this is a toss up. I think with Mariota starting, I don't think that Atlanta is going to be a turnover machine. I don't think they're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to be a turnover machine. Houston with Davis Mills is the exact opposite. A lot of upside, a lot of downside. So give me the Colts by 2 points.
Just because they generated, I think, more turnovers last year, I'll take the Saints. Or turnovers that ended in points is what I kind of mean there. So I'll take the Saints just because they've got that percentage chance of taking a fumble or a pick to the house. But yeah, I agree. It's real close. They're both good defenses against teams that are finding their way.
So Rob, I'll have you take me through. Here's Tubby's bench and options they may have. Tyler, once he's done, you'll take the shotguns.
Okay. I mean, he's going to have this all year because he took him early. You could make a case that you should go with the upside based on the fact that you're down in this matchup with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback. And he's going to have that all year. But I would still stick with what he's got. But you're gonna think of that almost every week. Otherwise, he must really like Hockenson. I would probably look at somebody else. Like maybe an Ayuk.
Especially if Kittle's out.
Yeah, especially if Kittle's out. I would play him instead of Hawk in that flex spot. Otherwise, yeah, there's not much else going on here on this bench. You know, there's some long-term stuff like Russell Gage if he gets healthy and becomes a thing in Tampa. But for this first game, that's about the only thing I'd do different.
Yeah, for the Shakas, I think you have a plethora of options here. I mean, Damian Harris is playable. Amari Cooper, even with a bad quarterback, we saw him with bad quarterbacks early in his career, and he was still over a 1,000-yard receiver. If he's healthy, he's the best route runner in the game. So I think you have to be starting him. I get it if you want to wait and see, and I get it especially since you've doubled up on running backs here like an idiot.
Yeah.
Burks, I wouldn't hate playing. Garrett Wilson, I wouldn't hate playing. Tyler Boyd, if you're in a pinch. I mean, you got a lot of options here that you could play. For me,
All better than Miles Sanders.
For me, I think I'm flipping out Hunt, putting Miles Sanders up there, and playing Cooper. And then you could convince me to play one of the rooks over Michael Thomas.
All right. I could see that. Though, God,
I think... For me, Cooper is the number one option on this bench that needs to go in.
Yeah, the problem is you've got so many Cleveland. In a vacuum, I like Hunt better than Sanders, but the fact that you've got Chubb in there too, you do want to spread risk out, but yeah. All right.
Okay. Who is taking this one? Let's go dice first because I don't know yet.
Okay. The dice are taking the Shakas.
Tyler, what do you think?
I think in his first league matchup and his first Commissioner's Cup matchup, here's Tubby takes the Commissioner's Cup.
Oh, boy. And Rob?
Oh my. That's a thing. I think it's highly possible, but I'm going to go with the Shockers.
I'm going to go Tubby.
Oh, I'm on my own with the dice. Let's go, baby.
Well, and just for the new people, or I guess for a refresher for everyone, the current standings in Pick'em for this podcast, Rob is at 171 and 100. Let's see. Blake is at 165 and 107. I'm at 160 and 111, and the dice are at 37 and 32. So that's your exact order. Rob is at a 631 winning percentage. Blake's at 607. I'm at 590, and the dice are 536.
Yeah, Blake made a big move last year.
I did. I went on a lot of really nice streaks.
Actually, last year was about the same.
Was it?
Rob finished 46 and 28. Blake finished 42 and 32. I finished 41 and 33, and the dice were 37 and 33. So it was actually right along the overall standings last year.
I guess you've just been close all the time. All right.
All right. Awesome, before we close this one down, I got a quick, and I said there were multiple new segments, just a quick little thing to toss to you guys to keep you on your heels a little bit. Tyler, we're going to start with you. What is the Super Bowl matchup in your way too early prediction, and who's winning the championship this year?
Oh boy, this is where my non-knowledge of who's in what's division hurts me. I think I got to go the Bills, and then it's just who's on the other side here. Okay, Bills are in the AFC. Cool, that's good to know. In the NFC, give me. Oh boy. Give me the, I'm going to go chalk. Give me the Bucks. Bills Bucks.
Okay. Rob, what do you got?
I have the Bills in the AFC, and I don't like San Francisco. I don't like the Rams. There's no way. So my choice is Minnesota. They always find a way to choke. So let's go and fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles, Bills.
Gross.
That's super gross.
I think it's gross, too.
That is disgusting.
All right.
I was going to go Bills, Buccaneers, and give me the Bills winning.
So let me ask you this one. And Blake, I'll start with you. We'll go backwards. What about the underdog Super Bowl contender in each conference?
Or the underdog.
No, I think I picked the underdog in mine. The Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because the Rams are favorite, Tampa Bay's favorite. I went with my underdog.
All right. How about Vikings, Broncos for dark horses?
Yeah, I like the Broncos for dark horse. I like the Ravens for dark horse if Lamar's on that revenge tour. I like the Eagles as a dark horse, like you said, Rob. And you know what? Let me go with the Niners for a dark horse.
There you go. If I had to pick two, Blake, what you picked would be mine exactly, since I took the Eagles as my first pick. It would be Denver and Minnesota.
All right. That's all I had, guys. Let's have a good week one. Football is officially back starting tomorrow. Thursday this week, and then got a whole bevy of games on Sunday. I'm excited. It's going to be a good year, guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick it.